You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Save big money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes, great for any project. Whether you're pouring a walkway, a concrete slab, or setting a post, view our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing all right. Feel bad for Michelle because she doesn't get the free breakfast that's in her apartment.
Oh, that's tough
this morning.
Chick-fil-A starts at 8 a.m., so obviously we will be on the air.
Yeah, that does you no good.
And Will and I were just having a nice conversation about Thanksgiving food before you guys got here. Wow, I'm hungry, and wow, I cannot wait for Thanksgiving food.
Yeah.
It's coming.
We're close. Less than a week away.
And macaroni is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big discussion. He said it's a controversial topic, if macaroni and cheese is a Thanksgiving food.
I mean, macaroni and cheese is an every meal food if you can work it in there. So,
breakfast,
yes, I count it for,
lunch,
for Thanksgiving.
Dinner.
Yeah. We didn't have that growing up much, but I feel like it's been a long time now that it's pretty much been a staple. I don't know when that started as a staple.
But it was a good move.
Maybe Katie brought it into my life. I don't know. But yeah, I think it should definitely be a part of it.
Yeah.
See, my family doesn't do it, but I'm so not against it. So I think maybe that'll be an addition this year.
There you go. As long as you have the number one thing, of course, which we can all agree on, this is not controversial at all. Green bean casserole is the number one thing at Thanksgiving.
Elite.
No, but it's good.
Oh, it's elite? I don't think it's number one.
But you haven't had mine with bacon.
Oh, you put bacon in yours?
Oh, hell,
that's pretty
good. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Very nicely done.
Yes.
You guys are just trying to make me really hungry this morning. Okay,
but at least we're not. No one here is against green bean casserole.
No.
Because there's some people who are against it, and that bothers me. However, and I know this is like, we don't want to go down this rabbit hole necessarily today. I absolutely hate the cranberry stuff.
Oh, stop it.
Hate it.
Joe.
My dad used to eat the whole thing, you know, of the cranberry. Not the whole thing, but a lot. And I was just like, I don't get it. I don't get the cranberry.
I like it. It's fine.
Yeah?
It's not my favorite, but I like it.
I love it.
I don't touch it. Yeah? And do you have it more like the gelatin or more like the, you know, lumpy?
Just the canned
style.
Stuff. The gelatin. Yeah. It's a nice little sweet with the salty and all that.
Okay. Well, we don't totally agree, but for the most part, we're on the same page.
I've got a bone to pick with the ESPN top 10 people. I'm legitimately upset about this.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb.
You got Connor McDavid last night, who is, as I said the other day, the best player in professional sports right now. And it may not be close. He's unbelievable what he's doing. Another highlight reel goal last night. If you've missed it, go check it out. Connor McDavid, just incredible last night against the Winnipeg Jets. Number 3 on the top 10. And the two plays in front of him, a dunk in basketball, which grinds my gears. People dunk all the time. In high-level college basketball in the NBA, unless you're dunking over like two people, I don't really want to see it in the top 10. Or, like we saw the other day with, I think, the Hornets against the Grizzlies, where you've got to reach back and grab one from the side of the stadium and put it in. I'm cool with that. Other than that, I don't really want to see a dunk in the top 10. And then terrible tackling by the Duke defense, the number one play.
Yeah.
It's great stuff.
Yeah, no, it was definitely the number one play. I mean, I think the dunk was like top 10 worthy. It was a very emphatic in-your-face dunk. So low top 10, fine. And it was a good run by the Louisville quarterback. But, yeah, McDavid.
Louisville
quarterback. Louisville quarterback. But yeah, Connor McDavid, that's absolutely the number one play. It's not quite as good as this ridiculous goal from last week when he went through an entire team, but it was close.
It's going to be, I guess, a weekly thing with him.
It's pretty sick. I hadn't thought about it in those terms, best player in professional sports. It's hard to argue with that right now. Well, Steph Curry would make a little run at him, and but I think it's pretty unbelievable what he's doing.
You want some FanDuel Sportsbook advice? Take a look at the odds on Connor McDavid every day to score a goal. It's usually like +120 or something like that for a goal. More times than not, taking that will work out well for you.
Yeah.
I did that last night. Worked out well for me.
Nice. Behind you right now is Steph Curry going for 40 as the Warriors outscored the Cavs 36-8 in the fourth. They were down 13 going to the fourth.
You watching every game this year?
36-8.
No, you're gonna get the package.
You know, gosh,
I've been thinking about it. The wheels are turning.
It's been requested. It's probably a bad decision, right?
I don't know.
I mean, they're on all the time anyway.
They're on a lot.
TNT or ESPN half their games, right?
Yeah,
you can miss a few.
NBA League Pass. Watch any game you want.
I know. That is pretty sweet.
We've done that a few times. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. You get your heat all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the Heat? Who's the Heat local announcers?
Tony, what's his last name? No, he's gone now. Eric Reed is the play-by-play. He's pretty good. And they've got a new color guy in there.
A former player?
Yeah. And I can't remember who it is.
Okay.
I've not had league pass since the new guy has come in.
Sometimes that makes a big difference for people, you know, to have the whatever. Yeah. Okay.
So can you give me your login once you get it, Joe?
See how that goes.
Don't believe me. With a Sunday ticket, I'd get bumped off and like, are you on my ticket? Got some friends using the login.
Gotta love it. Speaking of Sunday ticket. Guess you didn't need it last night to watch the Patriots play, but my goodness, 25-0, the final score last night. The Patriots just manhandled the Atlanta Falcons. Our buddy Mac Jones, 22 of 26, 207, a touchdown, one interception. But the story of the game, the Patriots defense just absolutely suffocating Atlanta, Matt Ryan, and that Falcons offense. No Cordarrelle Patterson, but probably wouldn't have mattered last night in the way that Patriots defense was playing. They look awfully, awfully impressive right now, Joe Rexroad.
They do. I mean, their front is good. And, yeah, long way to go on seeing what happens with Bud Dupree. But Matthew Judon was one of those possibilities, which I believe someone may have said was the top choice. But he looks awfully good at that defense. I mean, Christian Barmore looks good in that defense. Godshow. I mean, Kyle Van Noy is running around making plays. Very good defense. Also, though, right now, very bad offense.
Yep.
I mean, I got to find this stat. It's pretty remarkable, and it goes beyond what the Patriots did last night. Like, the Falcons in the last two games, of course, have scored a total of 3 points. I think they've gone 20 straight possessions without a point. That's incredible. And, yeah, so they haven't scored a touchdown in 130 minutes and 39 seconds of game time. Been outscored 896. And, you know, so it's funny because last night was kind of a Titans reunion, right? All these former Titans. One, I thought Dean Pease is the only reason that game was, like, close. I don't know how. That guy, somehow he dials up these blitzes that a quarterback just doesn't see so often. And if not for that, it's really a blowout. And two, you know, Arthur Smith. All this talk about Arthur Smith and he's gone and how much is that going to affect Tannehill? I don't think any less of Arthur Smith as a play caller, as an OC, all that stuff. But they're a good example of if you can't block, call whatever you want.
Yep.
Throw it with whoever you want. Throw it to whoever you want. If you can't block, you're in trouble. And certainly that's a very good front too. So the combination was lethal for the Falcons.
I mean, there was one play that Judon made last night, a sack of Matt Ryan, and it was just straight up ole by the Falcons offensive line. It was something like Matt Ryan was laying on the ground, just looking up in the sky, like, okay. I don't know what to do here. Good to see Josh Rosen and Felipe Franks get in there last night too. They looked pretty good.
Unbelievable. Boom, pick for Rosen, and then I guess Arthur Smith's like, all right, you're out. Felipe, get in there, boom.
Immediate
interception for both. That's a good stat from Mike Sando of The Athletic. The last time three quarterbacks threw interceptions for the same team in the same game. Do you know?
No.
Ryan Leaf, Jim Harbaugh, and Moses Moreno for the Chargers against the Dolphins in the year 2000.
Of course.
That's some outstanding stat finding. I mean, I did not have any idea that that was a QB room in 2000 with the Chargers. Ryan Leaf, Jim Harbaugh, Moses Moreno. Holy cow, that's amazing.
Jonnu Smith, one reception for 17 yards last night. Former Titan Tajay Sharp, two catches, 21 yards for the Falcons as well. So you mentioned a little bit of reunion. Arthur Smith, obviously Dean Pease as well. Good to see Jonnu get back in there last night. He's not been much of a factor so far this year for the Patriots, which I think is a little surprising given the fact that they don't have a ton of weapons offensively.
I know. And he looks like Jonnu when he has the ball. He had the little screen early. Looked good. The pick Mac Jones threw was to him.
Yep.
Maybe he could have come back for the ball a little bit better. But, yeah, I'm puzzled by how little production he's had. And I think he'd have more here. I mean, Titans could use him. But it's still a good weapon. Henry and Smith. And then, you know, they've got their receivers are okay. I mean, Aguilar is actually a nice pickup for them for sure. You know, N'Keal Harry guy I always thought would be good. But, boy, they are physical up front, and they can run it. And Titans, because we can look past games.
Yep.
They're going to need to be on their game in New England next week.
They are.
And, by the way, they get a nice break and a little extra time to prepare for the Titans now.
Mac Jones, I know they're not asking him to do a ton in terms of pushing the ball down the field. And, you know, we just talked about the weapons offensively for the Patriots. It's not a ton there, but, I mean, 22 of 26, 207, a touchdown and an interception. Mac Jones has been pretty good so far this year. I think by far the best rookie quarterback thus far.
He has been. He's also the rookie quarterback in the best position. But, yeah, I mean, he's still performed the best. I'm trying to think of all those other guys. Is anyone else supported like him with, you know, with the run game and with the defense? Who would be next closest? I mean,
That's a great question.
The Bears have an okay D, although it's a disappointing D.
It's getting a lot worse.
Yeah. I mean, most of them are in, like, rookie QB, high draft pick positions, right? Like,
yeah.
Where, like, I mean, I don't know if Zach Wilson's going to be good, but I'm withholding judgment based on that bleep show. So it is, it's a much better situation than I think anybody else has. But still, I agree. He's gets the ball out fast, he's accurate. The pick was, you know, he got baited a little bit on the pick. He looked like a little bit of a rookie. But, I mean, NFL quarterbacks throw picks. For the most part, you could see where that could be heading in a pretty good direction for the Pats. Are they better than the Bucs? Because it's always the question, right?
I don't think so.
Probably not. But at least it's Belichick. It was all Brady. At least that can quiet down a little bit.
It's quiet down a little bit.
I mean, it was never true. They were both very good.
Yes. Joe Rexroad taking another opportunity to disparage Tom Brady.
I did not disparage him at all. I did not disparage him whatsoever. I'm just saying he's not the only reason they were good. By the way, Tom Brady's throwing to a fake vax card guy.
Apparently. So, yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know.
That's what his former chef alleges in the Tampa Bay Tribune.
I guess we'll wait and see on the old Antonio Brown front, which, by the way, it is Antonio Brown, not A.J. Brown, as TD was having to fight somebody off on Twitter yesterday.
What?
That, you know, they put up the video of A.J. Brown talking yesterday about mental health.
Yeah.
And, like, somebody responded on Twitter to TD and was like, well, this is a nice cover for him being a fake vaxxer.
Oh,
and
good God.
Like, it was like, that's not... Not the same guy, man. A.J. Brown, Antonio Brown, two completely different people.
Social media stupidity undefeated. Wow, I missed that one.
Oh, yeah, it's good stuff. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We will get into the Titans coming up next, including more debate on Ryan Tannehill. That's on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, I'm not a big Brady fan, but look what he's doing in Tampa with the sorry coach that he has now. Two crying, laughing emoji faces. No respect for Bruce Arians there on the text line.
Big Bruce. Super Bowl champion Bruce Arians.
That's right.
What are we talking about here? No credit for him?
I like me some Bruce Arians. He's a good coach.
I think he's fine. He's a better coach than an announcer.
Oh, hell. There's no doubt about that.
You need to keep him in coaching.
Yes. Just coach for as long as possible. And
yes.
Stay out of the booth.
It'd be great.
No. As we know, Joe Rexford loves Tom Brady here on the show. So it's good stuff.
I mean, I did not at all disparage him that last. Like, you're just trying to – you're taking my words out of context, media.
Being a little feisty.
I don't have a problem with Tom Brady at all.
Got a text that says, do y'all think the Patriots are the team to beat, or are the Falcons just that bad?
I don't think the Patriots are the team to beat. Okay, let me start there. I think the Patriots are good, and they're getting better, and that's a Belichick thing. Good coach. It's a good coach thing. You know, I mean, I think in a lot of ways, despite the injuries, how much have we seen the Titans get better this year? I think quite a bit. So they are. I do like what they do, and I like physicality. I like physicality, especially as the weather starts getting like this more and more, and we get into December and January. And they can run it. They got multiple backs, and they are really good on D. So, I mean, I think they're a factor. I like their chances to get in the playoffs. I'm very interested to see their next two games. They have the Titans. Of course, next Sunday, you know, Thanksgiving weekend Sunday, and then I think they are, is it Monday night at Buffalo? Monday night game at Buffalo, or it's a game against Buffalo?
Yeah.
Titans-Bills, which...
Patriots-Bills.
I'm sorry. I mean Titans and Bills. Titans,
yeah, okay,
Bills.
Okay.
Yeah. For the Patriots, next two. And we'll learn a lot about them. So they're not the favorite. And it's like you still, I think you got to... You know, you're going to have to be able to, you know, make plays through the air. And I think Mac Jones has been very good for a rookie. Is he ready to win multiple playoff games? I don't know. But I like their chances to be in the tournament, and I wouldn't necessarily relish playing them.
And speaking of quarterbacks, Ryan Tannehill, under a lot of discussion right now from Titans fans and national media alike when it comes to what he's going to have to do to carry this team without Derrick Henry as they move forward the rest of the regular season. We've talked a lot about Ryan Tannehill this week, the season that he's had thus far, the expectations for him moving forward, and that's going to be a continual part of this conversation throughout the rest of the season without Derrick Henry in the fold. But the debate raging on, and you found some more stats that kind of highlight what Ryan Tannehill's been able to do so far this year.
Well, there's a lot. Mike Sando, and you know, we could try to have him on, but it's 4:20 in the morning for him right now. Friend of the show, he's been a good sport and come on here from Seattle a couple times, but really good idea, okay, for this story at The Athletic about value-added, basically, you know, value-added to a quarterback by his defense and special teams. And it's interesting, he led with this conversation Peyton Manning and Philip Rivers had about their this game their teams had in 07, which was like this defensive, all these crazy special teams plays. It's interesting because both those guys, for most of their careers, had to carry teams that weren't good in those areas.
Yep.
So what they did, this is True Media does this, and it's expected points added, which is an advanced stats thing, right? And it's, you know, it goes every play, okay? Like it takes each play in a game, and then you come away with, like, your expected points added from your defense, expected points added from your special teams. And this is a look at 41 quarterbacks who have started at least three seasons in the past decade. So we're talking a pretty big sample size of quarterbacks who have started at least three seasons and what their special teams did for them, and defense did for them, okay? And if you, and, you know, he went by, he combined them into a ranking. So just throw it out to you. Now, I know that's a big sample size, so it's a lot of people, but who would you guess number one of quarterbacks who have gotten the most support from defense and special teams over the past decade would be?
Brady.
He's very high. Number one is actually Joe Flacco, which makes a lot of sense if you think about it. But there you go. There's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. And why was he a Super Bowl winning quarterback? I mean, yeah, it wasn't like because Joe Flacco's incredible. He's starting Sunday, by the way, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, boy. Brady, and by the way, keep going down the list. Top five, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Both those guys. I mean, that totally adds up. Number two, Josh Allen, who's number one this year. And by the way, that's another reason why, you know, if anyone likes the Bills to make the Super Bowl, I mean, they have a well-rounded team in that way. Mitch Trubisky, there's another guy who has been very supportive. So Tom Brady comes in six on this list.
Okay.
Now let's go way down the list. Again, 41 quarterbacks over these. Number 33. Peyton Manning.
Wow.
With an average rank between those two of 20.5 in the league. Brady's 9.7.
I don't guess I would have thought that when his Denver years in terms of that defense and what he played with.
Right. Well, I agree. I mean, that was a great defense. So that kind of – well, I think what that is the late years with the Colts were that bad, right?
Yep.
But with Peyton, because he's only at the beginning of this time frame they're looking at, you could kind of look at that and say, But you could also look at his entire career with the Colts and it wasn't great. But Brady, it's not just him. I mean, last year it was hugely about other parts of that team too. But
a great motivator though.
Well, of course, and that's what this. There's no stat here that tells you about all the wonderful conversation he has that get people fired up. But Tannehill obviously is you look through all this stuff, and Tannehill is lower than Peyton. Or no, I'm sorry, not lower than Peyton, but he's 24th.
Okay,
and if you go through Tannehill's, year by year, it's really interesting because this year he's finally getting. So if you go through – so the average rank, okay, year after year, it's like the Dolphins, pretty bad. And last year, the Titans, 27 in the league. 27 out of 32 in the league when you talk about defense and special team support.
I believe it.
And, offensive rank, Titans, 2. Yeah. I mean, so, of course, it wasn't just Tannehill. Obviously, it's Derrick Henry. But this year, you're 9. You go from 27 up to 9. So, one – is you got to keep in perspective all the aspects of what make the team successful, and why the Titans are where they are is because that has changed so dramatically. So overall, though, if you want to look at Ryan Tannehill, you have to keep that in mind when you evaluate him. But another thing here, and you tell me if I'm being a hypocrite because I rip on Pro Football Focus, but John Glennon does have a good piece. With some interesting numbers about Tannehill. And I think the biggest takeaway for me is the pass protection, which matches up. This is Pro Football Focus. Is it hypocritical to cite Pro Football Focus?
No, you do whatever you want.
Well, it might be. But my big problem with Pro Football Focus is the individual player grades that come out 5 minutes after a game,
right,
when you don't know what their assignments are. And you don't know a lot about what you're just watching a game on TV and you're giving individual grades. That's stupid. Now, can you look at an entire, pass protection was good or bad? You can count up how many times a DB was targeted. They do some useful things. I think an overall offensive line pass protection grade, either you gave up pressure or you didn't, I think you can count that up.
Sure.
So right now the Titans are fourth worst in the league, which totally matches up what we've seen. They are 51.3 grade, whatever the heck that means. The number, I don't know. But it's fourth worst in the league, and that matches up. Last year, they were 74-9, which was 12th best. And remember, they were I promise you that was way better before Taylor Lewan got hurt.
Yeah.
So they've also dropped 18 passes this season, tied for sixth most in the NFL. So there's a lot of things. And it's interesting. You have this. You have what's wrong with Tannehill, and then you have Tannehill MVP. It's all over the map on him.
It is very all over the map on him. We'll get your thoughts on Ryan Tannehill on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see Dierks Bentley at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Friday, February 25th? Well, head on over to YouTube, subscribe to the 1025 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see Dierks Bentley live. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@CromwellMedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday, November 22nd. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
Yeah, I think I said this a couple weeks ago. The shame of it is Ryan's stats aren't telling the story of Ryan's season. He is having a much better season than statistical rankings. He's extremely tough, not just physically, but his mindset. He's consistent. He's the same guy in here every single day. He works his tail off. He's staying late, which quarterbacks do. And I'm just, again, really fortunate, honored, and blessed to be working with him, running this offense, because you couldn't ask for a more high-character guy and a tougher guy to be leading this offense on the field.
That was Titans offensive coordinator Todd Downing yesterday speaking about Ryan Tannehill and the toughness, both physically and mentally, that he's brought to the table. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit volstatebank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. I don't think there's any question from a toughness standpoint. Ryan Tannehill up there near the top in terms of quarterbacks of, number one, some of the hits he's taken. Number two, his willingness to put his body on the line. And certainly he's done that a few times this year, both intentionally and unintentionally there in the pocket. He's been quite tough this year.
Right. And that's the thing. You talk about toughness and match it up with whatever stat you want to go with. If you want to dismiss or buy the Pro Football Focus, it's about right to me. It seems about right to me. Bottom five in pass pro this year. Massive difference from last year. Massive, massive difference from last year before Lewan got the ACL. So you got to be tougher. He's taken more hits this year. I would feel good about this stat. I wish someone would. Pro Football Focus, can you do this one? He's taken more hard hits this year than he took last year, and maybe than he took the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's possible on the second one. I feel great about the first one. He's taken more hard hits this year than he took last year easily. I mean, gosh, the guy was seriously, like, after the Indy game, he was walking like he was balancing an egg on his head, with the neck. And then he just comes right out next week, and he's fine. Here we go. I
appreciated your question that week, too.
I think he did. Just seeing how he was.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah. But now the toughness thing is probably also maybe a little underrated with him, like not talked about enough.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's been consistent from day one.
It's been consistent from day one. And now the question is, all right, we've established that the offensive line, the protection for Ryan Tannehill has not been there. Can it get better? Can that protection get better as they move forward throughout the rest of the season here? Obviously, Taylor Lewan's availability, a big part of that. Nate Davis has been banged up. Roger Saffold's been banged up all year. Ben Jones has been fighting through some injuries all year. I mean, it's been a banged-up offensive line where, in a lot of cases, they've been able to get out there and play, but in some, they haven't. Now, the question is, if they can stay relatively healthy moving forward, how much better do you think the protection for Ryan Tannehill can get in this offense?
Yeah, it's one of the key questions, I think, of this season moving forward. And if you want to just go with traditional stats, by the way, there are three teams that have allowed more sacks than the Titans, who have allowed 29 sacks. Broncos and Browns, 30. Bears, 33. So even by traditional stats, however you want to do it, the pass protection has been a problem. And just like with a quarterback's picks, some of them may be a bad route or a tip pass, just some sacks you could put on a quarterback. For the most part, though, that's an offensive line stat. And it really, to me, comes down to health. That's what it is. It's Lewan, can he stay healthy and stay out there? If so, I think he's starting to round into form. The Nate Davis thing is troubling. He's back not practicing this week on the injury report with a concussion. And it's been, you think about that guy's year, an undisclosed injury that kept him out of most of camp. Then he's on the COVID list. He comes right out in the opener and, you know, he looks like he's about starting training camp at that point, you know, in terms of how he's playing on the field. And now he's got, I guess, back-to-back concussions?
I guess.
Which is a bad deal. So there's that. We know about Ben Jones and Roger Saffold fighting through, although it seems like lately we haven't seen as much of those guys, you know, going down after plays and having to come off slowly. So maybe things are getting better. You usually don't expect things to get better as you as you go toward Thanksgiving, but you haven't seen it as much. And then you got the rock of the line, David Questenberry. He's just over there at right tackle doing the job.
Still number one on PFF?
I don't know. Look, we have to ask Glennon.
In all seriousness, though, like he's been pretty good at right tackle this year. I mean, especially based on – I mean, you've drafted a guy in the second round to come in and hopefully at some point take over that role this year. And obviously that's not happened, probably not going to happen, especially at that position at any point this year, as long as people stay healthy. I think Questenberry's been pretty good for the most part.
Right, and you signed Kendall Lamb and you had Tyson Brilo. So – at some point in the preseason, you may have put David Questenberry fourth most likely to be your starting right tackle, honestly.
Yeah.
And he's the guy, and he's been very good. Look, you put an elite pass rusher over him, yeah, you got to help him. I mean, there's a difference between him and, say, Taylor Lewan, who you, for the most part, don't help, which gives you another body to use elsewhere.
Which is important.
Which does help in football. There's only 11. But Questenberry's been, and I mean, not a hint of an injury.
Yeah.
Durability, the best ability.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Our buddy Ron texting in. Good morning, guys. The NFL sees Ryan Tannehill as a manager quarterback. People talk about that as if it's a bad thing, but isn't that what every team wants? I believe Tannehill is managing this team. Yes, I think he can be better, and hope he does. But as far as MVP candidate, not yet. He still needs to show me that he can do it without his all-star players and do it consistently. It's coming from Ron on the text line.
Well, not every quarterback. That's always a good one, too. Like, are you a playmaker or a game manager at quarterback? All quarterbacks have to be game managers. Some of them, you know, go beyond that. Like, yeah. Right, the Mahomes's and Rodgers's and Lamar Jackson's, right?
Yeah.
I mean, those are guys you think of as a little bit more, I guess, dynamic.
Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, that's true. The Trevor Siemian.
Slinging it out there.
Well, if you count him with Taysom Hill, what a two-headed monster that is. But plenty of game managers have won Super Bowls. I mean, what was Eli Manning? Like, was Eli Manning and Peyton Manning, were they different? I mean, Peyton Manning was better.
Yeah.
But were they – I mean, because Peyton Manning was better, does he go beyond game manager? Or is he just an elite game manager? Is Tom Brady different than a game manager, or is he just an elite game manager?
It's a good question. I mean, Eli's probably a Hall of Fame quarterback. And I feel like people just dismiss him. They're like, yeah, whatever.
Well, the argument against Eli is, like, at no point in his career was – he considered one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
I know.
But he played a long time, and the bottom line is when you show up in those big games like that and you beat Brady twice, yeah, you're getting your jacket.
Yeah. Santa in Portland texting in, I wonder how much of this is due to a poor off-season training program and strength and conditioning unit. It seems like no other teams have this kind of injury list. And I don't know about all that, but speaking of the injury list, we were talking about yesterday, oh, it's a pretty short injury report that extended a little bit yesterday for the Titans.
It got a lot bigger, so they were uncomfortable with where it was. So you had to add. Let's see, who was added? You added Aaron Brewer with an illness. You added Jack Rabbit Jenkins, or Janoris Jenkins, with a chest.
Yeah.
Jeff Swaim added with a concussion. So I'm
like in practice.
I guess thinking he won't play now.
Yeah.
And Torrey Carter, shoulder limited. No, Jeff Simmons downgraded from limited to did not practice. Could be a plan. Don't know. And then you have a lot of the – I mean, David Long still not practicing at all with the hammy. Bud Dupree not at all with the abdomen. Like we just said, Nate Davis with the concussion. Chris Jackson with the foot. By the way, if Chris Jackson and now Jenkins are not able to go, got to reach into the corner depth.
Good thing, call Breon Borders back.
Good thing you have well, he's on the practice squad, right?
Yeah, he's calling back up.
Yeah. Good thing you have you know, Christian Fulton back. So there could be some missing guys, and the Titans would never say it, but this is a week where maybe you can get away with some, you know, missing guys who maybe. You know,
we've said that before.
I know. But I don't know. If there was ever a week where it could be okay for you, this would be it.
Do you buy into the idea that Santa threw out there at that sounds awesome to say, by the way, that Santa is throwing out on the text line that you need to take a look at the strength and conditioning program for the Titans?
Yeah. I mean, sure.
There's people that go there a lot.
Yeah, I get it. The Titans are right now are going to set the NFL record for players used. They have the most injuries, the most games lost from injury this year. So I understand the sentiment. And sure, I mean, look at everything. Do I think that they have some deficient strength or medical program? No, I doubt it. But
I doubt it too, but I will say
it's worth looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, I doubt it too. But the hamstring thing is kind of weird. Like, it's like the hamstring flu that's basically gone through this team. It's strange.
Yeah. Maybe they should stretch.
Well, maybe so. Stretch it out.
That was sarcasm. They do stretch. But yeah, no, you're right. It is weird. It is weird. I'll give you that.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. A big day coming up at Nissan Stadium on Sunday between the Titans and the Texans, obviously, but also honoring two legends in the history of the franchise. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. The deal this week, a $30 gift card for only $15 to Brooklyn Bowl. If you feel like snacking, they've got hummus, fried pickles, rock and roll fries, and more. Roll on over to Brooklyn Bowl for bowling starting at 5 p.m. Get your deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
You been to Brooklyn Bowl?
I have not yet.
I haven't either. I want to. Sounds cool.
Sounds awesome.
Michelle?
You a good bowler?
No. But, like, I can, you know, I can hit triple digits.
Yeah. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think my high is probably, like, 160 or something like that. Not great. You?
I can hit it with bumpers.
There you go. I had, like, 185 a couple weeks ago.
Wow. Yeah.
That's not going to happen much, but I did a couple weeks
ago. Have you broken 200 before?
No.
185 is pretty strong, man.
Yeah.
And what's your high score? We're comparing our high bowling scores, Michelle.
Well.
Without bumpers.
Oh, gosh. I don't even know if I could break 100 without bumpers. So how about this? We'll do two lanes, you guys on one, I get the bumpers.
That's fine.
That's fair.
That's fine.
Only fair.
Sometimes I think bumpers screw you up.
Yeah.
Just trying to bank them in.
Right, right. Yeah. But you can use those
if
you're good at angles. So, and that's also like apparently a great place for live music, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Mark from Ashland City on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. At this point, the hamstring bug is starting to spread to the fan base. During the game this week on commercial break, I was going out and working on winter prepping our pool, and I woke up Monday with tightness and soreness in both my hamstrings. It's coming from Mark on the text line.
Wow.
It's tough when it's getting out there.
Sorry to hear that,
Going Mark. From the team to the fan base.
At least you were doing something. The worst is when you get injured by just like, you know, sitting.
Sleeping like Robbie.
Or sleeping. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
It happens more and more as you advance.
Ryan Porth texting in. The Titans are a little hamstrung right now.
Oh, boy.
It's now time for Ryan Porth to log off for the rest of the day.
Yep.
Just enjoy your long weekend.
Come on, guys. That was a good one, kind of.
The 7 a.m. dad not. Jokes, Ryan
Just,
Porth.
Just go ahead and put the phone down.
Yeah. You're on restriction here, Porth, for an hour. Okay.
Obviously going to be a big day coming up on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. Hopefully the Titans can keep things going and keep the winning ways that they've had the last six games. But also, cool day for Floyd Reese and Jeff Fisher to be honored into the Ring of Honor for the Tennessee Titans as well. We've talked a lot about Floyd this week, and obviously make sure you stay tuned tonight starting at 5 o'clock. Jared and Caroline I've been working really hard on Floyd Reese and the special we're running tonight here on 102.5 The Game. So make sure you check that out. It will be from 5 to 7 tonight. Also going to be tweeted out. You can check it out on podcast as well. Going to play it a couple more times over the weekend. So going to be really cool on that front. Obviously, two legends in franchise history. Two guys that, you know, are responsible still to this day for the greatest run of Titans football that we've seen. Hopefully Mike Vrabel and John Robinson can start to add to that as they continue to move along here. The question is, should they both be going in on the same day? Do you think they should both have their separate days? What do you think of Floyd Reese and Jeff Fisher going in together?
Well, I mean, I think, look, I think it's obviously the way things ended, you know, which I think things end a lot of times that way with coaches and GMs. I mean,
yes.
In pro sports, a lot of times it's like, okay, who deserves more credit if things are going well? And then if things start going poorly, okay, so whose fault is it? I mean, this happens all the time. So, yeah, it's well documented that, you know, things didn't end well there and Floyd was let go. And it seemed, I mean, them going in together is, I think, like a healing thing. It seems that that's a, I mean, I guess I also could look at this and say, Floyd Reese, well, you could probably make the case for both of them, but could have gone in a lot earlier too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I guess you could make the case that you separate it. Obviously, it's tragic that we lost Floyd and that he won't be able to enjoy this. His family will. I'm really glad that he knew,
yeah.
You know, and knew before he passed away. But, I mean, I could make the case for this to be two different days, one for each of them. Hopefully, but at the same time, like they're always going to be remembered together too. I mean, that was the era, that was the best era of the franchise history. Teams built by Floyd and coached by Jeff. So I'm fine with it. I think that, you know, you could make the case to separate this. And like they went with McNair and Eddie George together,
yep,
which makes sense. But you know, you can always do a different day.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think you could certainly make the case that they both deserve their own day. I will say though, I kind of like that they're going in together, just because of what you said. Number one, you know, it did end poorly between those two, which is I think pretty common when it comes to coach and GM, and you know, eventually, most of the times. If one's staying and one's going, it's probably not going to end well with those two. I think this is a bit of a healing thing. I think it's also, you know, like you said, when you think of that era of Titans football, you think of those two and the teams that they built together, teams that they coached together. And, you know, I think it's going to be a cool scene on Sunday to see Floyd's family out there, to see Jeff Fisher. I know, like, typically when they have these type ceremonies, because they do it at halftime, you've got, like, basically – I don't know, like a minute?
It's fast. It's fast, yeah.
So I kind of wish it was different from that respect of giving them more time to say things. And,
like pregame?
Yeah, like pregame and you know, Floyd's family more time to kind of soak that in. But I kind of like that they're going in together. I think it's pretty cool. And, you know, I think the fact that they're playing Houston, pretty cool as well.
Yeah, obviously that, yeah, that no mistake there.
Oh, no.
That certainly makes sense. I feel like all these years later – and maybe it's, you know, it has something to do with just Jeff Fisher's coaching, you know, career after they were together. But I feel like Floyd gets more credit than Jeff Fisher for that era. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say so. Yeah.
So it was more the teams that were built than the way they were coached, you think?
I'd say so. I'm just laughing at a text from Devin on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jeff Fisher should be inducted in August. I don't know, maybe 8/8/22.
Oh, boy.
Knew we'd have one of those.
Of course. Can't make that joke anymore. No such thing. There's no such thing as an 8/8 team anymore.
So would he be 8/9
people
or 9/8?
People wouldn't understand it. They wouldn't get it.
They would have no idea.
But he was a pretty good coach.
Yeah, he's pretty good coach. You know, towards the end of Fisher's career – it fell off a little bit, obviously. And, you know, you had all the Vince Young drama and then, you know, bringing in Randy Moss at the end of the – it was just – there was a mess at the end of his tenure with the Titans. But largely, pretty good job done by Jeff Fisher. Floyd and the architect of those teams. I mean, you just think about making the move from Houston over to Memphis to Vanderbilt, then finally to Nissan Stadium, what was then called Adelphia Coliseum. Just the journey. That's a hard thing. Like when you're doing and moving around that much to keep your group together and to keep your group focused. And then, you know, it was interesting to hear Floyd tell the story on with Jared and the GM about almost not being able to draft Javon Kearse and how much of a difference that made when they did get it. And Kearse coming in and just being an absolute monster that first year, a large reason why they were able to make it to the Super Bowl that year. So, you know, it's a different time in the NFL now in terms of, you know, you've got free agency and the contracts are bigger and all these different things, but I think about the roster that Floyd was able to put together. Pretty good stuff.
Oh yeah. I mean, you have to draft well. You know, 95 you get Steve McNair, you get Chris Sanders in the third round. I mean, then you go next year, you get Eddie George. I mean, there you go. These are still the two most beloved players in franchise history, while understanding that number 22 is coming fast, or well, he's right there. But John Runyon in the fourth round that year, you know, you get Derek Mason in the fourth round the next year.
Yeah.
You obviously go through and you got Dyson and Samari Roll. I mean, you know, Zach Piller and Kearse and that draft of 99. And then, you know, not a big – and Keith Bullock, by the way, in the first round of 2000.
Bringing in Kevin Carter. Yeah.
Yeah. The free agent, he was, I guess I would say, not like just spend it left and right on free agency, but smart and built great teams.
It's going to be a fun day on Sunday. Again, it's just tragic that Floyd's not going to be able to be there and be a part of it. But to your point, he did know that he was going to be a member of the Titans Ring of Honor, and going to be an emotional day on Sunday, going to be an awesome day to watch. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing what the crowd's like and the reception's like, and obviously well-deserved for two legends of the Titans franchise. Going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, and looking forward to this show today.
Yeah.
5 to 7?
Yep.
I know they've worked really hard on it. It's going to be great.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans, including getting to a report from Diana Russini yesterday on potential good news for Derrick Henry. We'll react to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.